Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alongside former Pro Bowler Wade Smith, I'm Jeremy Branham. Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Ryan McDonough joining us now. Ryan, of course, the big trade as far as Houston is concerned. They're getting Russell Westbrook. That's all you need to know from a Rockets fan's perspective. What'd you make of the trade?
Well, I was a little surprised by it, guys, for a few reasons. First is that you know the history with James Harden and Russell Westbrook starting in Oklahoma City and the fact that the Thunder and the Rockets are in the same conference in the same division. So usually when you deal a player of the magnitude of Russell Westbrook, you send them outside the conference and outside the division if you can. But, you know, Sam Presti in the front office in OKC didn't seem to pay any attention to that. They wanted to get the best deal they could. So I think that the biggest factors here, the age differential, the fact that Russell Westbrook is 30, and Chris Paul is 34. The contracts are exactly the same over the next 3 years. The only difference is Russell Westbrook has a $47 million player option in year four. So I think it's a worthwhile gamble for Houston. I think it has a chance to work. My only concern, guys, is how does it work when Harden and Westbrook are on the court together, but Westbrook is off the ball? Harden's great on the ball, as you know, but how does Westbrook do in a supporting role, in a complementary role? He's never done great at that, and he's not a good spot-up shooter, so I'll be interested to see the fit with the Rockets.
Yeah, that'll be fun to watch over the course of the 82-game schedule, and then if they're fortunate enough to get into the playoffs, how deep that pair can take them in the playoffs. I think simply I want to start with, did the Rockets get better with this trade?
Yeah, they did. They did. And Chris Paul's a great player. He's had a Hall of Fame career. As you guys know, the Rockets have been one of the best teams in the league, in my opinion, the second best team in the league over the past 2 years since Chris arrived in Houston to play alongside James Harden. And I don't need to tell any of your listeners in Houston the history with the 3-2 lead and the Western Conference Finals a year ago before Chris strained his hamstring. Everybody knows those that painful memory very well. So, you know, the Rockets were right there. They were banging on the door. I think the problem and the calculation for Houston's ownership and front office was that how long can Chris Paul be that player? And watching him closely last year, I thought I noticed a little bit of slippage. He does have 3 years and $124 million left on his contract. So I think it's a move that Houston, whether they wanted to make it or not, is up for debate. I think it's a move they felt they had to make, given the age differential and the fact that Chris Paul is closer to the end of his career than Westbrook is.
Being joined by Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Ryan McDonough, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns. Looking at it from a general manager's perspective, Ryan, you mentioned the fit. What would be some of your concerns with that fit? You mentioned Russ off the ball. What other concerns would you have as a former GM in the league?
Yeah, just the lack of shooting when Harden has the ball in his hands and Westbrook is spotted up. Russell Westbrook's one of the worst high-volume three-point shooters in NBA history, meaning he shoots around 30% from his career. I think he's right at around 31%. And guys who shoot that poorly usually don't shoot as much as he has. And as you guys know, that's the Rocket system. That's their style. Now, can he get better when he's not asked to carry the heavy load that he's had to carry in Oklahoma City, especially the past few years in OKC since Kevin Durant walked out the door to Golden State? I think in a spot-up situation, he may get better at it, but that's never been his strength. And then also the off-ball movement. As you guys know, the Rockets run an isolation-heavy style and system. Usually the ball's in Harden's hands. When it wasn't in his hands, it was often in Chris Paul's hands. Now I think I like it a lot when Westbrook's on the ball, guys, when Westbrook is possessing the ball and running pick and rolls and has shooters around him. I'm just interested to see how it works when Harden has the ball and Westbrook's off the ball, because spot-up shooting and off-ball movement and setting screens and doing the little things like that off the ball have never been strengths of Russell Westbrook.
So when you look at Russell Westbrook and James Harden, both of those guys are exceptional regular season players, and the kind of the knock on both of them is that when they get into the playoffs, they fall short and they run out of gas. And the fact that both of those guys' usage rates are so high during the regular season, do you think those two guys playing together in the regular season is going to help them to kind of get over that hump when it gets to the playoff times, because now they didn't have to basically run out of all of their gas during the regular season and they can save a bit for the playoffs?
Yeah, you brought up a great point about the usage rate, and I saw an interesting tweet last night by a guy named Micah Adams. The only two players in NBA history to use 40% or more of their team's possessions are Russell Westbrook 3 years ago in OKC when he won the MVP, and James Harden last year in Oklahoma City. That's it. That's something that Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and Allen Iverson have never done, and nobody else in the league has ever done it other than those two guys. So they will have to sacrifice a bit. They will have to get comfortable playing off of the ball. I think that some of the playoff stuff is overblown, guys. As you know, a lot of it's been bad luck, in particular 2 years ago, and it looked like they had Golden State on the ropes, and had they advanced to the NBA Finals and played Cleveland, I think they would have been a heavy favorite and probably won the championship that year. So again, to me, they've been the second best team in the league. They were right there. I think the calculation is that Chris Paul is not going to be that same player. Even if he is today, 2 or 3 years from now, he's not going to be that guy. Chris does have an injury history as well, so the Rockets decided to roll the dice and be aggressive, which is something that, as you guys know, under Daryl Morey's leadership in the front office, they've never been afraid to take big risks and big gambles, and they certainly took a big swing with the deal last night.
Exactly. And so looking at it, we just got word that Tyson Chandler signed a one-year deal with the Rockets. And then if you talk about that addition and how it's going to affect the Rockets going forward in the season, and then a potential addition of Andre Iguodala, do you think that those two moves can put the Rockets over a hump and make them the favorite coming out of the West?
Well, it certainly gives them a chance. I have the L.A. Clippers as the favorite in the West right now because they return the core of a 48-win team. Guys like Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, who I thought were the two best bench players in the league last year. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they brought in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to play alongside those guys. So I have them as the favorite, but as you guys know, there's no Golden State super team anymore. The league is as wide open as it's ever been. I have seven teams that could win the championship as of now. Now, five in the West, and the Rockets are certainly one of them, and then two in the East in Milwaukee and Philadelphia. So I think Tyson Chandler will help provide depth. Obviously, when Nene opted out of his contract as a backup to Clint Capella, they needed a positional replacement there. Actually had a lot of the guys on the Rockets roster in Phoenix, including Tyson Chandler. He's still good, guys, in short minutes and in short spurts. He's not going to play all 82 games. In fact, he's missed at least 15 games a year in seven of the last eight seasons. But he can spell Clint Capella. Capella's young. He's energetic. He'll play the bulk of the minutes. And Tyson, in short spurts, still can be an effective player, especially when he's catching lobs from James Harden and now Russell Westbrook.
Being joined by Radio.com Sports NBA insider Ryan McDonough. He's also a former general manager with the Phoenix Suns. Ryan, what's it like dealing with Rocket GM Daryl Morey?
Well, guys, we actually worked together in Boston as well. Daryl and I were, I think, two of the first hires of the Celtics ownership group way back in 2003 when they bought the team. So I was there alongside Daryl and Mike Zarin, who was still in the Celtics front office, when those guys were formulating a lot of the analytical and statistical models that changed the game and heavily influenced how the Rockets play. So, Daryl's a sharp guy, as you guys know. He's an aggressive guy. One of the things I'll be interested to see is there any residual impact on Houston and the Rockets as far as trading Chris Paul. Not bringing in Westbrook, but sending out Chris Paul to a team that's not a championship contender. I give Daryl a lot of credit. A lot of general managers in the league, frankly speaking, would not have made that deal and not have taken that risk, given that it was only 2 years ago that they recruited Chris Paul and got Chris Paul to agree to opt into his player option in 2017 with the LA Clippers to get traded to the Rockets. So I give Daryl a lot of credit. He swings big. He thinks big. I like the way the team looks, and I like the fact that they were able to retain core pieces like Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, and P.J. Tucker, another guy we had in Phoenix is one of my favorites. So I like the way it looks on paper. I love the minimum signing of Austin Rivers. I thought that was one of the best deals all offseason. So the Rockets are loaded up, and I think they have a good chance to be in the top four in the Western Conference to get home court advantage in the first round. But as you guys know, the West is a bloodbath, and to me, it looks as wide open as ever been, which gives the Rockets a good chance because they're in that lead pack.
Former GM Ryan McDonough joining us on Sports Radio 610. Ryan, one of the criticisms I think you would find of Daryl Morey is that sometimes he doesn't look at the human element of things and that he's too analytical. In your experience as a GM and working with guys like Daryl Morey and other guys around the league, how do you balance the analytics and then the human side of the game?
Yeah, honestly, guys, that was something I was criticized for in Phoenix as well, being too transactional and not as much relationship-based. We did it another way by flipping a lot of players for draft picks and draft assets and then drafting really young players. I think, let me put it this way, in Darryl's defense or an explanation of now what he's been doing for years, but I think the rest of the league is starting to do. In my opinion, guys, the league is in a great place, but there's less loyalty than there's ever been before. And I mean that in any direction, from ownership to the front office, from the front office to coaches or coaches to players or in any of those different groups. And I think you're seeing that now even from player to player. I was surprised. Keep in mind, it was just a week ago tonight that the Oklahoma City Thunder had Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and Jeremy Grant on the roster. And then Paul George goes to the front office, you know, seems to demand a trade. He gets sent to the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard joins the Clippers. So I think there's less loyalty than ever. I think that trend will unfortunately continue as the money continues to go up, as the stakes get raised, and as the pressure is so great on all those groups from the court to the front office to the ownership box. So I understand why Darryl does what he does. He's been one of the most successful GMs in the league the last 10 or 15 years, and knowing him and his personality, I don't think he'll stop being aggressive, regardless of how it looks.
Ryan, one more before I let you go. The Houston Texans fired their GM late in the offseason. What do you think is going on in an organization whenever a team is letting their GM go at that particular point deep into an offseason?
Well, I think I'm the right person to ask, given that I got fired in the middle of preseason last year for the Phoenix Suns. Right. It's a topsy-turvy business, guys. You know, as you guys know, it's hard being a player or a coach or an executive or an owner. It's often unpredictable. One of the things that surprised me, not just that they let the GM go, but I think I read somewhere in the last day or two that they're going to do it by committee next year. Is that right, that I read that the Texans are going to have like a GM by committee? So that surprises me. I always think you need to have one voice, one person in charge. Now, how you get to the point of decision-making or who ultimately makes the final call, that differs by organization. In some NBA organizations, it's the GM or the president. In others, it's the owner, to be honest with you. But I was just surprised when I think there's like a diffusion of responsibility, and it's even if it's clear internally, if there's confusion externally about how it's going to work, I don't like that setup and don't think it's a viable long-term strategy.
Hey, Ryan, we really appreciate the time. Great stuff. Look forward to talking to you down the road.
Yeah, guys, appreciate you having me on. And then the Rockets make another move, which usually doesn't take long. I'll be happy to come back on with you guys.
Yeah, we'll call you right up. Thanks, Ryan. Ryan McDonough, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns, decades of NBA experience, worked with Daryl Morey. That was Radio.com Sports NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Thank him, of course, for the time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.